Have to put us back in the speaker view. There we go. Get rid of this window here. And we're good to go. Next week, I will be in the Sessions by the Sea, so I will be in Ocean City on a little retreat and won't be here. So just to let everybody know.
Enjoy.
Yes. Supposed to be perfect weather, like 70s and just like 80s, mid 80s, but then mostly it's going to be very nice.
Oh, wonderful. That's great.
Yes.
Beaches, the weather makes such a difference.
Yes. Yeah, a couple of years ago, I went there and it was like 100 degrees every day and it was painful. Even with the wind and, you know, the nice breeze from the ocean, you would just walk around and it would just stick to you. It was
awesome. Well, that's unusual that it's that hot.
Yeah.
So. I'm going to the beach on the 11th.
Oh,
that, follow that next week.
There you go.
We used to have a beach house. We rented it during the season and then, you know, used it for a week. And then we got a little more money. We used it for 2 weeks. And good. Used it off season and stuff. But it was lovely.
Sounds very nice. Yeah, I like the ocean very much.
Oh, I do too.
This body resides in Uruguay, in South America. So 70% of our country is surrounded by water. So.
Yeah, there you
pretty,
go.
It's pretty nice. Even our cities. I live in Montevideo in the city, and like about 20 blocks away, it's ocean front. You know, so.
Oh wow!
Pretty yeah. nice.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Cause yeah. that's nothing to drive.
Yeah, no, not at all. I used to live closer actually, but I moved a little bit further. You know, but yeah, surrounded by water. The water element.
Very nice.
The further east you go, the more you reach the Atlantic, so it starts to get nicer, you know.
I had a lot of trouble signing in. The thing was, it was giving me my past sign in, like a bunch of numbers and stuff. I had to move it off of that in order to be able to enter the Ramakant as a password. I don't know why.
You can just click the link and not have to enter any password, you know.
Yeah, that's what I do. I don't enter a password.
Really? Yeah. You don't enter those numbers?
No, because just click anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it that way. You can like start Zoom and then enter the numbers and enter the password Ramakant, or you just go to the website, click that link, and boop, here you are.
The Zoom website?
No. The website.
On YouTube.
Ramakant Maharaj Dakshina .net.
Okay, I've never tried that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go to YouTube and you see the video, there's a link to it there. You click on that and you go to the website.
Huh.
It's the...
Yeah. I guess that's the way normal people would do it.
Yeah, here, I'll show you. I think I'm sharing screen now so everybody can see it. Yes. This is the website. This is where like the talks and everything are stored. And you just go here and click this link. Boom. This is also how you know whether we're going to have a talk or not.
Yeah.
And then these are the ones that are passed. This is the YouTube embed and so on and so forth.
So that's not Zoom there?
Zoom? No. Well, this is not our website, but this is the website that I set up to do this whole Tuesday talk thing.
Okay.
So you go there. It is kind of a long URL, but I think you can get there also if you do spontaneousdevotion.net or spontaneousconviction.net. I think so. Let me try that. Spontaneousdevotion.net. Yep. So if you don't want to type in the whole Ramakant Maharaj Dakshina.net, you can do spontaneousdevotion.net. And you'll also get to the website. And you just scroll down, click on this, and that joins the meeting.
Okay.
Once again,
next Tuesday, I won't be here.
Yeah, we're not going to do it next Tuesday. Or not this coming Tuesday.
Yeah.
I will be at the beach, so I will not be doing this either.
Okay. I'll be dancing at the Grateful Dead show.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
I'll try to be spontaneous there.
There you go. Well, music always makes you spontaneous. It moves you and you just observe yourself moving.
Yeah, right.
The body is just kind of moving and flowing. And again, then that's another thing. Just like bhajans, you lose yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have a concept of I am dancing or I'm, because the music just kind of carries you away and you forget yourself. And this body pressure that's consistently felt is no more. It just dissolves.
Yeah.
And same with the bhajan. It shakes up this whole, you know, you don't feel so tight. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in India and they started doing bhajan, I just started dancing and kind of moving and even like doing little steps. I have videos of that people took. And I was just like, you know, just spontaneously bursting into dance. And it was, that was right after the food poisoning too. It was just like, you know, you're just free. It's absolutely free.
Actually, that was the name of a Mothers of Invention Frank Zappa album, one of his earliest albums. And it's called Absolutely Free.
Yeah.
And that particular album is one of the things that changed my life, because he had a song in there about plastic people. It made me think about just people. Are they, you know, whether they're genuine or not? It just kind of changed my life.
Well, I mean, there's no people. And that, you know, when you're dancing like that, like, you know, at the concert or whatever, and the music's moving you, you forget yourself. And the cool thing is, you know this, you've experienced this. All of us have experienced that being in the zone, so to speak. You forget yourself. And yet, then you can still be here. So it's not like forgetting yourself. Suddenly you don't know what to do. Like, you know, like we always talk about, like, okay, well, if I surrender to my selfless self and I just remain with myself, then what happens to my life? But there are moments where you forget yourself and nothing terrible happens. You don't like go and do crazy stuff. It's just, you don't have to keep remembering yourself all the time. You can just be with yourself without having to conceptualize this sense of self as something.
Which that was always what I kind of hated about myself my whole life, was that any element of self-consciousness I was sensitive to. And I just kind of like didn't like it.
Because of identification with the body. Maharaj has said before, if somebody comes up and scolds you or tells you you're a very stupid person or whatever, well, to whom are they speaking and where is this insult? If you're formless, we talked about this before, there's no thing to hang this insult on. It just goes by. Okay, whom are you speaking about? Because I'm not identified with anything that this label could stick to.
Actually, everybody has that sense where, you know, they don't really care what you say about them. You know,
well, not caring is different because that's an intellectualization of what you're doing. You're saying, oh, I don't care. You can say what you want. But not being formless is totally different. It's just like when people say they renounce things. If I sit there and I say, you know what, because I'm having a bad day, I'm going to renounce the world. That's not real true renunciation. True renunciation is when you know yourself in a real sense and you know that nothing is other than your own self, which is the perceiver of all this stuff that is not. And that absolutely everything that you're seeing or participating in or experiencing is absolutely illusion. And you are the only reality. Then renunciation just happens automatically because why would the formlessness desire something? How could this desire even make sense? Oh, I want a new computer. Well, okay. Now, at the same time, there are other things where it's not so much a desire as something just comes up in the moment. Perhaps you do want another computer, but you don't sit there and mentate over it. You know, the most it would be is, I see this computer, I would like it, click, click, okay, I buy this computer because I want Zoom or whatever. But there's no mentation and there's no need for you to form a concept of you, to participate in some activity that's spontaneous action in the moment.
So what would you say is your relationship to calculation at that point? Is calculation still going on in a limited way, or is it no longer calculation?
Calculation as far as what? As far as like the price and you paying?
Decisions thing? Or doing this for whatever reason, you know, like doing things for a reason.
It's not a reason. It's a spontaneous action in the moment.
Do you still like... Would you say you still see your mind doing calculation, but you're just not
This is what the mind is meant for, is these small little task type things like this. There's no me involved. Mm-hmm. Just like, okay, you could say, forget about computer, say about your shampoo or your soap. There's not a lot of deliberation in that. At least in my own self, I just go on Amazon and say, reorder the stuff that I ordered before and have it sent to the house. And that's it. There's not a lot of me in there. Yeah. It's just spontaneous in the moment. There's no need to intellectualize. You might look at your cart and say, oh, look at this. All these items cost $65 or whatever. But you don't then sit there and say, oh, you know, how hard I worked for this $65. Should I buy a different?
It's just practical.
Yeah, it's just practical. Your mind is used for practical things. Like Maharaj says, use mind sparingly, like pickle. Pickle is good on a sandwich. Too many pickles make the sandwich not taste good. Pickles. Yeah, use mind as and when required. Maharaj says that use mind like a pickle.
Yeah, I was noticing today that I was feeling, I don't know, like self was kind of bliss kind of thing. And then I noticed that when I feel unlimited, there's... limited desires just don't have, they don't really exist.
Yeah, when you're feeling unlimited, then the limitation that you placed on yourself is no longer being felt. And that should tell you that the limitation that you place on yourself is untrue. Because if you were truly limited, there would be no unlimited. There would be, you're limited. You would not have this feeling of being unlimited. And the unlimited is just because you forget yourself.
Usually I don't.
As something.
Don't feel unlimited, so I do.
Because you're thinking about yourself as a form relating to other forms. If you're not thinking about yourself, how can you be anything other than unlimited? Not a single thought will go through your head. Not a single concept will come to your mind. Because if you're not thinking about yourself, how can you not be limited? It's only when you think about yourself as, I am Keith, and I have these things I have to do, and this, and oh, I hope this happens in my life. And all. Now you're limiting yourself. The more you're thinking about yourself, the more you're limiting yourself. If you don't think about yourself, how can you be anything other than unlimited and formless? Because it's only your mind that sits there and tries to construct this, I am a form. By this concept, I am somebody else. When you're formless, your body doesn't go away. You're still formless.
And I was noticing that any of those ideas that pop up are sort of forms, but they're also very passing and temporary, so they're not real.
Of course, because you're formless. So these thoughts and ideas have nowhere to land. You know, you can picture this as thoughts and ideas flowing through the space in the room. If the thoughts and ideas are about a person and you're not identified with the concept of being a person, how are these thoughts or ideas going to stick to you? How would you even be attracted to them? You won't even know they're there, because the only reason that you know that there are thoughts, you know, when you get identified with these flow of thoughts and your attention goes to a thought and says, oh, that's a thought.
And that's just another idea.
Of course. Otherwise, you're just awareness of space, of nothing. You're unlimited. You can't even say what you are because there's no identification with anything.
That's why even if you call it consciousness itself, it's still labeling it.
And when people say consciousness, then right away you say, oh yeah, that's the world. And that's what this body is actually appearing in. This body is kind of an appearance in consciousness. And they call consciousness, like inside my head is thinking and dreaming and all that. And people call that the individual consciousness. But in reality, it's the consciousness is what we're seeing as a world. And I am identified as an object within that consciousness. But I absolutely know that I'm none of these things because I'm formless. And that's why Maharaj says there's no consciousness, no unconsciousness. Everything is just appearance and a play for a time. But you're outside of time. And all this play is just going on within your own formlessness that you are. You're providing the power and the energy, as Maharaj says, just like the electricity does the light. It does the little air conditioning unit thing there. It does the phone charger. But it's just going. It has no idea that, oh, I'm a phone charger. Oh, I'm an air conditioning unit. Now I need to behave this way. No, it's just providing it power.
It makes up stories, and then you end up feeling that there's something to the story.
Only because of identification with a certain object that you call you, my actions, my house, my wife, my car, my job. But all of these are you. So what can you really truly call mine? Unless there's an I there that has some kind of local identification. If you're formless, what could you truly call mine? How could the formlessness say, this is mine?
That's why you don't know what you're going to think next, I guess.
Well, thinking, again, that's just a flow of thoughts. And you won't even know you're thinking when you remain with yourself, the self. Because, again, the attention goes out to a thought and it says, oh, I'm thinking about this. Just remaining formless. We've all heard the good news. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. The sense of existence has appeared to that which existed that had no knowledge of existence. And along with the knowledge of existence came so much other things to know. And then the knower, the knowing, the knowledge, all these things came about. Prior to beingness, none of this was. And that's how you remain. That's how you are right now. That's the truth. Everything else is just appearance.
It's like earlier today, I was feeling like I was a vast ocean, whereas a lot of times it's more like I feel like I'm a small ocean or something.
Well, again, size has to have with some kind of identification. You have to have a form. You're formless. How can you be big or small?
Like
every time you try to assign an attribute to yourself, just remember, oh, no. How?
There's not different oceans and there's not different times.
Well, there's appearance of all this stuff. Tonight you can have a dream and have a dream that you're rowing a boat in a lake and then you get in a car and drive to the ocean. It's all just appearance. Take some sand out of your dream and bring it with you into the waking state. And yet while you're in the dream, it appears very real. You'll swim and get wet. You might get cold, you might get hot. You might even get sunburned in your dream. But when you wake up, you know, oh, it's just a dream. It was appearance from the formlessness because this body was laying down sleeping. The eyes, the physical eyes, weren't seeing anything in the dream. So my own formlessness was creating and seeing and experiencing everything in form. And yet I remained formless.
Would you say you're able to identify as being the formlessness?
Who is there to identify? Again, that's an attribute. How do you identify formlessness? How do you identify nothing other than this something that you're seeing has appeared within that nothing? Just like, again, in the dream, you're laying down to sleep. There's nothing. Like, you're asleep. You're laying down, and the physical body is laying down to sleep. And yet, something, an entire dream world, experiencing, like we said, you might have being wet, swimming, you might get sunburned, you might be eating, but all of that something came out of nothing and returns again to nothing. And then you wake up and you say, oh, I had a good dream. And yet you saw the dream, you participated in the dream, you had another body in the dream, and yet you know you're formless. All of this something came out of the nothing that you are.
But the nothing is not the opposite of something. Is it?
The nothing is basically the background that's always there in which these things are appearing.
Right. With the two, like
without there being a background for things to appear, to whom would these things appear? You, the you that you are seeing these things appearing, an entire dream world, and participating in the dream world, but you're formless, taking form spontaneously, because like we said, we don't arrange our dream and say, I'm going to have a little lake house over here, then I'm going to have a nice lake and they're going to, let's put some people and some park benches. You don't do that. It's spontaneous. It comes from nothing and boom, here it is. And there you are within this. And you're moving around and it seems that everything is very real until you wake up. And when you know yourself in a real sense, you will see that all of this is the same as that dream. Because you're formless and all this form is appearing, and it appears that you have a form within this illusory existence. And only for a time. But when you know yourself in a real sense, then this won't matter. Whether there's a dream here or not, you are.
You are the presence within which all that takes place, or seems to take place.
And even presence, we can remove this world presence, because prior to beingness, was there any presence? And you are prior to beingness in this moment. That's why Maharaj says, prior to beingness, prior to taking this body form, you are formless. After leaving the body, you are formless. And you are formless right now, because you don't change. You're always formless. This supposed form world came out of that formlessness and is seen because, again, just like a dream at night, there's a body that sees inside the dream, except we call this the waking state. And then we get a little preview of reality when we lay down and then we sleep and we have a dream and we have another dream world, and we call that the dreaming. But in reality, you're formless. There's no dream. There's no birth. No, there's no death. There's no world. There's nothing happening at all.
Yeah, I think a lot about that when I'm in the ice bath, looking at the ice slowly, gradually melt. And I think about what Vashista used to say to Ramakrishna about the ice melting, and all that time thinking it is an ice cube, thinking it is feeling cold, thinking it is melting, thinking it is about to dissolve, and it just returns to the water. And I think about that a lot every time I'm in there. It gets me through the 3 minutes, the 4 minutes, the 5 minutes, you know. And I think it's something like that, what we're talking about, you know, the form returning to this, before the primordial state, you know, before the I am. And I see that ice cube melt and I get sad, you know. I'm in the ice bath and I get kind of sad seeing the death of the concept of that ice cube, you know. But I try to convince it that it's back to its natural state. Oh. We're just ice cubes.
When I was feeling really expansive today, it was like, certain concepts came to try to describe what I was feeling like. It seemed like there are no times. It seemed like I am no other than the present time, and that's all there is. But I guess there was still a sense of I am there.
Yeah, because in order to have time, you have to have an object in space to measure time and say, oh, it's a short time, it's a long time.
I can't imagine going further, much further than the I am, at least at present.
Well, it's very simple. I am, how do you go further than the I am? Because you're seeing this I am. I don't mean seeing with physical eyes, that sense of presence. The I exist, the subtle. You're prior to this because you can perceive this. So you know. And now that's why we can throw away the whole world and all the bodies and all this kind of stuff, because if you're just focused on presence, if you're just focused on the I am, if you're just focused on this sense of existence, then the position that you are becomes very evident. And somebody says, oh, I'm thinking about, well, wait a minute. this I am, this sense of existence, I know this is formless. This is formless presence. The entire world has appeared on this formless presence. And I'm really not in any of that. Because this presence has appeared to that that was, you could say, absent of presence, had no knowingness of anything, because all there is. And now this sense of existence, this I am, this presence, is known. And just like in dream, we're laying down to sleep. As soon as this sense of existence mixes, I exist, a dream world is projected spontaneously. It's the same here. The only difference is that we identify with a specific form, because mom and dad were the presence, and there was a knowledge of a child being born, and this child was then labeled something, and that kind of came from the concept of the parents, that we are parents having a child. And this formlessness that you are is told, you're this little baby. And you're labeled such and such.
And it leaves the impression.
Yeah. And then you start experiencing that's why Maharaj says it's all wrong files. You start experiencing everything from the perspective of being something around other things. And you get this subject-object relationship of, this is me, that's mom. This is me, this is a hat. This is me, this is a table. And all this labeling and everything comes about. And then all your memories, because the mind came along with the body, prior to having a body, there was no mind. So you're sitting there and you're labeling things and then remembering, oh, I bumped my head on the table. My head, because of identification with a body, bumped on a table because I'm a form that hit another form, and therefore the sensory experience was pain, and I wish not to do that again. So then the pain and pleasure principle begins to come into effect.
So it kind of opens up avenue for all kinds of contradictions, but just sort of cover over the contradictions with some kind of idea of that there is no contradiction.
Well, you cover it up because your formless presence is now appearing to be covered by a body. And then because you know yourself, this body becomes very important. Oh my goodness, if this body is no more, I will not be. And you go through life thinking, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. And then of course people tell you, go get it, you know, go get the world, go do this, go do that, go be a doer. And then when it doesn't work the way you think it should or could or would, it's just happening. But you are so identified with the scene that you start beating yourself up through this mind, because you give all the power to the mind. Mind says it should have gone that way. Let's look for who to blame. Because you're someone. There are other someones, and those other someones must be out to get theirs, the same that you're believing you're out to get yours. And it's just concepts after concepts after concepts.
Then if you try to say that it's all not true, just to a normal person looks like denial and hypocrisy, because there's, to them, there's no other way, or to a normal way of thinking, there's no other way to see it.
Eventually, you will get tired. And that's when you turn, like Maharaj says, you turn to spirituality, you start to read some spiritual books. These books say various different things, but eventually you'll find a book that basically says that you're Brahman, you're Atman, you're Paramatman, you're God. So you'll come up with this concept, and you'll cling to this concept and start to not cling so much to this I am the body idea. Then in that, you'll have this quote spiritual journey, which is another concept that you'll be creating, but you'll be basically imagining yourself on a journey to find yourself. And then within this presence that you are, that's when a master will appear. And then this master that appears will tell you, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Well, you've already read that you're not body, and you've already started to kind of get the concept of I'm spirit, maybe using a body, and this, and then you meet this master who, number one, has solid conviction. He's never like, well, sometimes I'm this, or sometimes I'm that, or this is. He has solid conviction. He knows who he is in a real sense, 100%. And what he is telling you is that there's no separation between you and the master, meaning you are formless. And these body forms are just like the ashram walls and the toilet walls. And when the walls come down, the space is the same. Well, when this body and that body are no longer being conceptualized, then you see the master as formless, you see yourself as formless, and the separation is removed. And like we talked about, it's not renouncing the idea of being a form. It's the knowledge that there's no form at all. And master says, now that he's told you this good news, you remain with mantra, and start to experience yourself directly. Because Nisargadatta Maharaj said all the time, when in the books, he says, why would I lie to you? Why would I? But it's okay, you don't trust, because you need to just experience directly for yourself. Because everything that's said is just conceptualized. The intellect takes it and says, this is very nice. If I was formless, I think I would live a happier life. I'd have less problems. I would be at peace more. And when you experience directly for yourself, this concept of peace, this concept of nice life, all these go away, because you're not creating all these disturbances, because there's less and less you. You are dissolving this concept of you. Of course, you're formless. You're remaining formless. You're always formless. There's no world. Their appearance is the same as in a dream, but for a time, as you're believing yourself to be a form on a spiritual journey, you'll look for this. And then, oh, so that I am that. And now I want to remain with myself more than I want to play in the illusory world. I've been told the world is illusion. When I remain with myself, I seem to have a lot of internal joy for no material cause. When I go out in the world, I need a lot of material cause to try and get myself, quote, happy, peaceful. When I remain with my own self, this is not a requirement. You're the ocean of happiness and peace without any material cause. And see, that's the key, because material cause, as Maharaj says, is a painkiller. Momentarily, you're like, oh, this is nice. Just like you buy a new car. You sit in the car. Oh, I love this car. It's so nice. And you wash it, and you're very careful with it. And then after some time, it's not new anymore.
So it's a pain generator.
The happiness is gone. And then you start to see, oh, now I have these payments for all this time, and I can't get a new car for a while. You see what I'm saying? Because you're looking for happiness in material. Just like Maharaj says, money, sex, publicity, and I think that's it. But these are the material things that can make you happy temporarily. But your own self is the truth. It's not temporary. As a matter of fact, temporary is even kind of laughable, because it's